Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me. This is why she was favored. Are you getting it? This is the difference. May it be to me as the Lord. Listen to what she said. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. That's what God's looking for today in this Christmas season. You want to know the power in Christmas? May it be to me as the Lord has said. I am your servant. I am willing to go and do and become everything you called me to be.
You love the Lord today? I hope so. I'm glad you're here. Looking forward to an exciting month of celebration. Today I'm going to start a series, The Power of Christmas. The Power in Christmas. Now, I hear people joke about it a lot, and I'm probably going to address it a little about being Scrooges around this time. Don't raise your hand if you're a Scrooge, but I'm going to try my best to help you out. I believe that this is a time of great celebration. Amen. I believe that this month, this season is precious, but I also believe it's powerful. And I hope over the next three Sundays to share this three-part series with you. Then we're going to have our special service there in the fellowship hall and or in the Family Life Center. We'll be lighting the fourth Advent candle that day. Then Christmas Eve morning, we'll be lighting the last one. Children, I'm about to forget you guys. All our kids that are going to Children's Church, if you guys would just stand up this morning. Did they get them already? They didn't get them. I see you guys. Stand up for me. Come on, hurry up. It's like cleaning your room. They take their time, right? Father, we bless them today in Jesus' name. Be with the leadership. Be with Heather. Be with those that minister to them. And let this day be great blessing to them in Jesus' name. Can we all say amen? All right, guys, you're dismissed to Children's Church. I'm so sorry. I forgot you there. I had one little kid in my last pastorate. He would stand up and audibly get my attention if I wasn't careful. The power in Christmas. I want to read you something this morning before we go to Scripture. We live in a society today where many want to be seen and most want to be heard. But what if our life's purpose was to be lived out in the background in order to fulfill the purpose that God has? What if we were the tool that would facilitate the great or even impossible things of God? What if our greatest contribution was overlooked by the majority of those that would receive its benefit? Would we still be available for God? I want to ask you to join me today as we look at two of the great facilitators in the Word of God. I want to share with you from my heart this morning something I'm very passionate about. Something that some years ago the Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit, revealed in my life that brought great change to me as not only a servant, but as a minister of the gospel. I think many times as Christians, we too fall into that category of wanting to be seen or wanting to be heard. Maybe we're not willing to admit it. Maybe we don't acknowledge it. Maybe we think we're more humble than that, but there's some truth in that for all of us, that all of us desire on some level to be seen, on some level to be heard. But what if the thing that God called us to was in the background? Amen. What if the thing that our life was dedicated to, if the purpose of our existence, I shared with my Kylie the other day, she's not here today, she went home with her sister, and she'll be back tonight. She was going to visit with some of her friends, and we were just talking back and forth, and we started talking about college. She said, as long as I could remember, that her desire, and we obviously in those early days from middle school and early days of high school, sometimes that's very likely to change. But she has held on to this much like my middle daughter did all the way from her beginnings in middle school to her first year now in high school. And she has said over and over, Dad, I want to go to Emmanuel. That's the college I want to go to. Dad, I want to be a teacher. Dad, I want to work in missions. And I said to her the other day, I said, sweetheart, I said, you have to understand, baby, that just like most ministries, missions is very different than most people realize. The excitement, the idea of being in a foreign country, a new place, new experiences, new people, New food, that's the best part. Somebody say amen. All those wonderful experiences, we get excited, and then all of a sudden the reality of how hard it is sets in. The work, the barriers, the strongholds, the frustrations, the difficulties. And I said to my daughter, I said, sweetie, we've been doing this now over 22 years. And I said, I can tell you in the early days, all the lights and the glimmer and the excitement and the things that stirred my heart, they changed over the year, and they had to change because many of those things would not have kept me rooted in what God called me to do. Well, amen. One of the things that I've learned about pastoral ministry is sometimes you sow, and you do, and you do. And sometimes it's weeks, days, months, and even years down the road before you see all the harvest. There are times that you're misunderstood, times that you stand and believe for what you believe in all your heart is completely right with God and what God said do. But maybe somebody else doesn't see it, but you hold fast to it anyway. And in the end, it pays off. But you're not able to really say anything. You just have to stand back and receive the reward internally. One of the things I've learned about ministry is there's many times you're going to do things in secret that nobody else may never know about. But if you're really committed to the kingdom, it's not about that. I'll tell you a story here in a few moments, but for now, let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. We're talking about faith and some facilitators of greatness. The power in Christmas. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored." I love that verse. I can't help in my imagination but just think for just a moment what that must have been like. I mean, can you imagine in your own life that at some moment you're alone and the angel of God stands in front of you, calls your name, and says, "Greetings, you are highly favored." I'd believe I'd dance a little bit, wouldn't you? I saw a Facebook video the other day of a little toddler. Mama or somebody in the family was saying, "Shout, baby." Little baby was... Kyla would say, "Daddy, I can't believe you did that in church." Well, I did it. I hope she watches this. I believe I'd dance a little bit, Bart. What if I told you today that you are highly favored? What if I told you today, because of the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ and everything He came in this world to do, that we sit here today favored by God, not because we deserve it, oh hallelujah, not because we're perfect, not because we have all the answers, not even because we're a Pentecostal church, can somebody say amen, but because we are a child of the King, we are favored by Him, oh hallelujah, let's keep going. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob," that Israel, amen. "His kingdom will never end." I like that part. I said his kingdom will never end. We're not in this for a short stint, amen. We're in this for eternity. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Even Elizabeth, notice verse 36. Even Elizabeth. Everybody say Elizabeth. Often she's overlooked and forgotten here. But I want you to hear this. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. Something about when Jesus shows up on the scene. Some of you ladies say amen or oh me. I told my wife one day, I said, "I love you with all my heart, but if you come and told me you were expecting another baby, I might end up in California." I really wouldn't, but, oh man, the thought of starting over when they're so close to being finished. You know what I mean? My sister, she said, You know, she had triplets. Y'all met my triplet nieces, and they're 26, 7, 7, right? Yeah, 27. They were born just a few days, 2 days after, I think, we were married, right? 2 days? Getting a little older, so I have to think about it sometimes. After 27 years and you're raising them, there's got to be a finish line somewhere. Amen? It's grandbaby time. Give them caffeine and ice cream and send them home to mama. Amen? Buy them that monster energy drink. Send them home to their daddy. Just see them bouncing off the walls at the house. And that your daughter or your son saying, was I like that? Oh, yeah, you were just like that. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren, oh, I heard this in my spirit. Some of you have reached a point you feel like you can't produce anything else for the kingdom. Can I tell you something? When Jesus shows up, come on now. You're not dead. You're alive and favored by God with God's hand of provision on your life. Even in your old age. Man, I saw a Chick-fil-A video. Commercial. I think it was during the SEC championship game. I think it came on. And it showed this gentleman that loves Chick-fil-A and he was 100 years old. Anybody see that? And he was sitting there on the sofa and they gave him lifetime Chick-fil-A. Did anybody else laugh? I thought it was sweet, but I also thought, well, he is 100. He said, how do you say it? I do remember. I guess I'll have to live forever. That's right. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me. This is why she was favored. Are you getting it? This is the difference. May it be to me as the Lord. Listen to what she said. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. That's what God's looking for today in this Christmas season. You want to know the power in Christmas? May it be to me as the Lord has said. I am your servant. I am willing to go and do and become everything you called me to be. I said to my daughter the other day in conversation, she was talking again about, you know, we was having this discussion about 3 more years of high school, college, possibly dual enrolling next year, all these types of things we were discussing. And I was talking about her future and God's plans for her life. And I told her, I said, sweetie, whatever you do, just stay focused. I said, you have to understand God has a purpose for your life. And she was telling me about some of the environment that she's surrounded by and a statement. And she probably wouldn't want me to say this, but she's not here. Somebody say amen. So here we go. She was telling me how she was witnessing and trying to minister to one of her friends and how that most of the time young people listen to me. And you're going to know what I'm talking about here, that when they text back and forth, that the language that's used in the text messages and I'm just going to. Yeah, I'm going to say this in church. So don't you get offended at me, okay? But I'm trying to say something that needs to be said. She said to me, she said, Daddy, they were laughing at me and said, oh, yeah, she really is a Christian, isn't she? And they were making remarks back and forth because in her text messages, she uses a different acronym than what they would use for what they were saying. Are you following me? Instead of the LM, most teenagers text this thing back. Don't you get mad at me. Don't you be religious. But they text LMAO. They know what it means. Don't y'all? Raise your hand if you know what that means in text. Be honest. Your parents aren't going to get you. Most of you do. Because it's the standard. How many of you adults know what that means? Raise your hand. Uh-huh. Because it's the standard. And she does not use that. She uses something different. I can't say it in church. I just gave you the abbreviation. So you're laughing my off. You say you should never say that in church. Well, why not? They're saying it all out there in the world. And I need to address it today. I need to talk about it today because here's where we got to take a stand. Sometimes we don't know what our teenagers are dealing with. We don't know what our kids are dealing with. And she does not respond that. She uses a different acronym. And they joke on her for using it. And she said, Daddy, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of being singled out. I'm tired of the pressure. And I said to her, baby, just listen to your daddy for just one moment. I said, have you ever considered for just a moment that God's calling you to be the light? Have you ever considered, I know that pressure's not easy, I know that pressure is tough, but have you ever thought that just for a moment God put you there so that you could take, because some people will take that stand even at a young age and some won't, but just maybe, she said, but Dad, my other friends were not like this. My other friends knew where I stood and they respected me. And I said, yeah, but these kids don't know you. You're just going to have to draw the line, sweetheart. You're going to have to stand strong, sweetheart. Don't give up. We need to tell our kids that. Don't give up.
I want us for a moment to consider these two women who are being discussed here. I think any of us in this house would be proud for any of our children to be a Mary or an Elizabeth in the sense of their spirit and their heart. Let's look at them for a moment just in comparison. Number one, Mary, who was so young, believed just to be in her teens. Many theologians believe that Mary was somewhere around the age of 14 to 16 years old. If you're 14 to 16, would you stand, young ladies? Would you stand? Come on, help me out. I know you're here. Any young ladies that are between the age of 14 and 16, would you stand? Surely we've got, there's one. Who else? They just look older than they are. I'm sorry, sweetheart, you're getting singled out today. I'll let you have a seat since you're the only one. Can you imagine the pressure? You say, Brother John, she was 14 to 16. But a different culture, different time, different era. Are you understanding me? But here's the point. Can you imagine the pressure? I mean, when I was 14, I probably would have ran. Why must I be given this responsibility? Why must this be asked of me? Some of us are much older than 14 or 16 and we run when God calls on us. Oh, I'm preaching real good right now. You were excited a while ago and shouting when I told you how favored you were. But then I tell you that you run sometimes and you're like, no, not me. You got the wrong guy, Pastor. She was young. Elizabeth was old. Look at the comparison. Some of us say, don't get mad at me. I'm too old for that. The truth be known, and I'm just going to say this, some of the ones that are actually truly old do more than some of us that just claim to be old. And we're really not. Sometimes I say to my wife, I get up from the sofa and I say, I'm getting old. She'll say, you are too young to be saying that. Well, you can say amen to that. Mary, a virgin, pledged to Joseph, a descendant of David. Elizabeth, the one who was called barren. Here you have this contrast of one young and one old, one just beginning their life and experiences and encounters, and one now old and considered to be barren. So when I look at this, I find two people that in the natural, when you examine them, you would say, how can it be? We sung about it this morning. Can I tell you, it's by the grace of God that you and I stand today favored by Him and chose by Him. I believe this Christmas season some things need to change inside of us. Let's go through the next few weeks making up our mind that we're going to be who God has called us to be. Stop playing church and serve God with all your hearts. You can't profess God on Sunday and forget about Him through the week. Oh, I feel tough right now, but it's got to be said. You can sound spiritual. You can look spiritual. But you still can die and go to hell. Not know Jesus. Can I tell you something, parents? We're going to be accountable to our children, to God for our children. We're going to be the example. We are, Randall, the example to them. And I believe we're going to give an account to God for how we have acted and stood before our children. The investment we've made in their lives. Why are you saying this? Because I can't get it out right now in my spirit. I've got to say it. Don't play church. Be real. Don't be religious. Teach them truth. Let them see you read your Bible. Let them hear you pray. Amen. There's times that my kids have called on me and said, Daddy, when Casey was giving birth or in labor, getting ready to have or in the process of having Evelyn, she said to me, Daddy, pray for me. Can I tell you that to me, there's no greater honor than that.
Daddy, pray for me. And I stood there by her bed and held her hand, her mom and I, and we prayed and we loved on her. And then right before she was at that moment where they, you know, made the guys leave the room minus the husband, she said, Daddy, pray for me again. And we laid hands on her. And a few minutes later, we had a beautiful granddaughter that came into the world. What are you saying? We have a responsibility. Pike, Lamar, Upson, wherever you go to school. Young people, you can't just look like church on Sunday. You can't sit there while I'm preaching, oh, here it comes, and play on your phones all through service and say you're really passionate for God. I love you. I love you. You can't sit there and think about your girlfriend and your boyfriend all through service and not listen to the Word. I know that's a little tough on you today, but I need to say it because the Lord's prompting me. How many of you young people watched the Georgia-Alabama game yesterday? Raise your hand. Did you, young people, Levi, you didn't want to leave the room, did you? Probably didn't leave the room, did you? Maybe halftime. You didn't miss not a second of it, did you? Then why did we miss out on the sermon? Because I ain't no boring preacher. Somebody better say amen. I was looking at all these young people. Somebody better say amen. I love you guys. I'm being tough a little bit because I love you. Just these descriptions alone scream with tones of impossibilities. Just these descriptions scream impossible. A virgin? Old and barren? I wonder what there is in your life today that Satan is screaming impossible. I wonder what God's calling you to, that all you can seem to hear or see or focus on is the natural. I'm young, I'm old, I'm this, I'm that. This is the reason, that's the reason. Can I tell you something? What is God's reason? There's been many times I've stood behind the pulpit and looked out over a congregation like you today, and I ask myself, what do I have? How can I? But a long time ago, I had to learn to decide that I can't. Amen. Oh, there are people gifted enough and charismatic enough and can play the game enough. Not me. Without His anointing, without His purpose, without His presence, without His calling, without His assignment given. Neither should be with child. One's a virgin, one's barren. Both will deliver messages. Listen to this. Both will deliver messages to the world. And both are about to face the most difficult situations of their life. Mamas, listen. Both of these women will deliver messages to the world that are still being preached today. Oh, you may never know the generations behind you. You may not understand it all. Some of my research in my family, I found out that I've had great grandfathers on both sides that were ministers of the gospel. Did they know I would exist? No. We have a voice today. Both of these ladies would give a message to the world, and both would face the most difficult situation of their life. This is where faith comes in. I said, this is where faith comes in. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, we read, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said, and the angel left her. A friend of mine wrote this the other day. What would you do today if you really believed that all things are possible with God? Oh, that's good preaching. Would you go back to your schools carrying your Bible? Would you walk with your head up proud and tell your friends, listen, at lunch I want to tell you something. Something's changed in me. I've given my life to the Lord. Would you go back to your job and on your lunch break, maybe you work in a factory or a plant or some environment, and you say to some of your friends around, hey, look, guys, I'm starting a Bible study over lunch. Would you join me? Maybe you go back to the school you teach in and ask some of the teachers to meet you early just to pray together. Those little bratty youngins that are driving you crazy, what if they got anointed in your class? I've walked into some Sunday school classes around here and thought, Lord, I pray for that teacher. She needs all the help she can get. Come on, say amen. I walk in the young adult class and I pray for David. He needs all the help he can get. Y'all were supposed to laugh about that one. Both Mary and Elizabeth became facilitators of greatness. Are you ready? Follow me and we'll close. Both Mary and Elizabeth became facilitators of greatness. Mary, the birth of our Savior. I don't know that you can facilitate anything greater than that. Her availability, her obedience brought forth what? Healing, deliverance, salvation, forgiveness, peace, hope. All of these were the results of the birth of a little boy who was also the Son of God. What if you lived your life in such a way that you gave birth or facilitated the great things of God? Please hear me. Quit playing games with God. Be a facilitator of greatness. Don't ask on God to do something for you when you're not willing to give you to Him. Amen. God, help me in my finances. God, bless me to get out of debt, but you're not willing to tithe. God, heal my body. Take care of my family, but you're not willing to put Him first. I'm not talking about making mistakes. I'm not talking about falling down. I'm talking about willingly choosing to hold on to things in your life that are unbecoming, unacceptable, and where conviction has been given by the Holy Spirit, but you hold on to it anyway, but yet you want God. It's like the monkey that stuck his hand in the cookie jar. He wanted the cookie so hard he wouldn't let it go, thus he couldn't get his hand out of the jar. Some of us are holding on to things, hear my heart today. You're holding on to things that God has long since required out of you. I'm saying to you today, let go of those things. Let go of those things that are unlike Him and hold only to what God wants you to do. Be a facilitator. You never know the life that you're impacting by living for God. Whether you're 14, whether you're young, whether you're old, no matter where you are in this process, and no matter how long you've been in church. Been in church all my life, Pastor, I don't care. I may not have been as long as you, but I've been long enough to put it on the records. I woke up laying on the church floors. Mother drugged me to church. I never had an option. I'm in one of them preaching kind of modes today. Hey, you hear what I'm saying? When they say to Mom, I don't want to go today, and they say, well, it's okay, baby, you can stay home. No, no, no. Are you bleeding? Are you sick? Are you dying? Well, no. Then you're going. There was never an option in my house. My children have never got to choose. I'm the boss. I'm daddy. I'm leader. I'm husband. I'm father. Some Sundays I don't feel like it, but I stand up. What do you mean don't feel like it? I'm not talking about sick. I'm talking about lazy. I'm talking about I just want to be, my old flesh wants to be lazy, wants to watch TV, wants to do nothing, doesn't want to preach to you. I don't get to call in. I'm taking a personal day next Sunday. I'm going to call the council and say, somebody's got to preach for me. I'm taking a personal day. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Oh, it's a personal day. It's none of your business. I heard some of y'all say that about your jobs. That's my time. No. You see, you're really meddling today. I'm trying really hard to get down to where the rubber meets the road and tell you about a woman named Mary and a woman named Elizabeth who had all kinds of obstacles, but they chose to overcome them and to be available to God. And because of that, they were two of the greatest facilitators of greatness that ever existed. Mary gave birth to the Son of God. What are we giving birth to? What is our contribution? If I'm preaching long today, my wife told me I've been preaching too short. Y'all can blame it on her. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. What time is it? Oh, I got plenty of time, man. I'm just getting warmed up. Verse 38, listen to what Mary said. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. Facilitators of greatness. Number two, Elizabeth. The birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. Notice that. Mamas, I believe God has assigned purpose to your children. Declare it, decree it, speak it, receive it. Don't look at the impossibilities, look at the possible through Jesus. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We lit today the prophecy candle. Michael and his family did a wonderful job leading us in this part of the ceremony, the service. And I often like to say, and maybe next Christmas I'll get to preach on it, but the prophecy candle not only spoke, reflects, reminds us of the prophecies that he would one day be born. But can I tell you, one day he will also return. Those prophecies are clear. Mary and Elizabeth did their part and made themselves available unto God. Both of their sons being messengers. Both of their sons preparing the way. John preparing the Lord to come into this world. Preparing the path. Jesus coming, going back to the Father. He will return again. And we have a job to prepare the way. We have a job to be a voice in this world that Jesus is coming again. The faith that these two women had in the face of great opposition allowed them to be facilitators of the greatness of God that changed life as we know it now and for all eternity. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be that kind of person that if in the quietness of the moment and the secret place of God that I do something for him that nobody else knows, but I do it because I'm available. I want to be that person that God looks down upon and I find favor in his eyes and he uses me for the glory of his kingdom. I want to be that person that in this season that I recognize and acknowledge the power of Christmas. There's power in this season. Why? Because Jesus came in the world. He brought salvation. He brought healing. He brought deliverance. He brought restoration. Maybe your family's hurting. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe life has thrown you a curveball. Can I tell you, Jesus has already come. He's going to return. He's already prepared the way, and you and I get to live in victory because of who the Son of God is. Because of what happened in that manger over 2,000 years ago, we get to walk free today. From manger to cross to grave, back to heaven, and one day he'll rapture us out of here. The real question is today, are you ready? Are you ready? I want to tell you a story and then I'm going to close this message this morning. Some years ago, we were having a youth rally. That's what I call it, youth concert, youth meeting. There was a local group out of the Vidalia area called Finding Favor. They were young. They had just started in ministry. Few years, had some band members change around and different things, and maybe Blake even see this today. Blake Neesmith is the lead singer for Finding Favor. Unbeknownst to me, I'd known Blake at that moment. I didn't realize who he was because he was older. At this point, I'd known him since he was just a little child from when I pastored my first church in Dublin. His grandparents lived there in Dublin. And often the pastor of the Church of God and myself, we would get together and have combined services, and David, he would run around playing there at his grandparents' house while we were all there eating. My youth pastor had put together this big youth event, and I made up in my mind that I was not going to interfere. I was just going to be a good pastor and show up. This was his ministry. This is what he had done. And I knew that if I got there, I'd want to be invested and involved, and it wasn't my job. I didn't want to interfere. It was time for his ministry to grow and prosper, and I was just going to come toward, you know, right after it got started, ease in, be a part, listen to the concert, leave, you know, not interfere in any way, just be supportive. And so I get there that night to this youth revival or conference or whatever you want to call it, and over 200 and something teenagers were there. They were standing wall to wall, maybe more. There literally was not a seat in the house available. Kids were sitting on the floor in the sanctuary. It was packed. Finding Favor and J.J. Weeks were both performing at our church that night. I came in, and if you know anything about both J.J. Weeks or Finding Favor, you'll hear them on the message. You hear them on 93.3. You know their songs and their music. In fact, we probably even do some of their songs here. I walked in that night in the back, and they'd bought these little cool glasses all the kids wore that lit up and flashed and different things, and because it was all in the dark, and it was just a neat event they had going on. And I walked in, got my big blue flashing shades and put them on, and walked up in the media booth in the back, was just standing quietly, me and my wife, and watching and looking out over the congregation, how packed it was, and these kids worshiping, and Blake and them were ministering at that moment on the platform, and the youth pastor had walked up, and the Holy Spirit had just failed, man. It was just beautiful. People were crying and weeping, and I'm standing there looking out, and I looked to the youth pastor, and my mind went to the moment, my first conversation with him, the first day I met him. The first day I met him, I was in a sporting goods store that one of my council members owned. Hunting, fishing, guns, all those types of things. And this guy walked in and he was cussing like a sailor, man. I mean hard, just rough profanity as he walked by him, and his son's like, "Dad, Dad, he's a preacher." He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to." And he starts talking. I said, "Hey, man, it's not me. You got to worry about it. It's the Lord that's listening." You know, and he laughed. And we start talking. And before long, we're talking turkey hunting. And I said, "You know, I've deer hunted for a long time, but I've never got a chance to turkey hunt. I don't really understand how. I'd love to go turkey hunting." And he said, "I'll take you." So we go out to the woods together. And a week or so later, and we're standing there beside his truck. And I've got my gun, and he's got his gun, and, you know, all that good stuff. And he was just crazy about turkey hunting, man. He said, "Let me ask you something, preacher." He said, "Do y'all do that tongue-talking thing at y'all's church?" It's always the question, right? Not, "Is Jesus there? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you pass them snakes around?" "No, we don't do that." "But do you talk in tongues? Y'all believe in that?" "Yeah." I said, let me just ask you this. I said, "Mike, I just want to ask you a question." I said, "You've known me for a little bit of time now. We spent some time together, ate together." And I said, "I'm even standing here with you with a 12-gauge in my hand. Right?" And I said, "Do you think I'm crazy?" "What do you tell a guy standing there with a 12-gauge in the woods by yourself?" "No, you're perfectly sane." I said, "You think I'm crazy?" He said, "Well, of course not." And I said, "Well, I pray in tongues." He said, "Well, you got a point." And I said, "Everybody at my church is just like me in that sense. People that pray in tongues, they're not crazy either. They just believe in that aspect of the teaching of the Word of God. Bear with me now. I'm almost done." He said, "Okay." He said, "Well, I'll come with you." I said, "Man, that would be great." So I'm inviting this guy. I'm talking to this guy. Remember the first time I met him, he was cussing. And I don't mean a little word. He was rough, man. He's a retired, he was airborne, all that good stuff, you know, jumped out of planes, medic, all that. Been around it all. Sunday morning comes. He's nowhere to be found. And I'm wondering, "Well, Lord, what happened?" Well, I called him Monday or Tuesday. He said, "Pastor, I just got to tell you, I got dressed. I was ready to go to church, me and my wife." And he said, "We went to walk out the door," and he said, "I just stopped." He said, "I couldn't do it. I couldn't leave." And he said, "I need you to pray for me." He said, "I can't do it." He said, "So I changed my clothes and went to the woods and went hunting." You understand this guy's life, beautiful home, beautiful trophy rooms. I mean, just incredible hunter, incredible outdoorsman. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I need you to call me." He said, "I just can't do it." He said, "Call me next Sunday morning, and it'll make me go. Call me." And I'm thinking to myself, that's what you do for a child. You're a grown man. And the Spirit Lord grabbed me. The following Sunday morning, I picked up the phone at 8 o'clock that morning. I called him. He said, "I'm dressed. I'm ready." I said, "You're going." out the door in the car and you're coming, right? Yes, I promise you I will be there. Sometimes we need accountability. That Sunday morning I walked in, there he sat in the pew. Him and his family, his wife was a school teacher there in Tattnall. I walked by and he called me over there. He said, I need to ask you a question. He said, are you serious? Y'all don't pass those snakes around, do you? I said, I done told you we don't do that here. We don't believe in that. And he said, now you're not going to single me out or anything like that, are you? I said, no, I'm just going to walk up, lay my hand on you, pour a whole bottle of oil over your head. And he looked at me big eyes. I said, I'm kidding with you. I'm not going to do that. And I preached my heart out that morning. And he and his wife got up and they came to the altar and they gave their lives to the Lord. The Wednesday night before that Sunday, I looked out at my congregation and I said, I'm going to do something I've never done. There's a man that God wants to save. This is his name. Pray with me that Sunday his life will change. This is his 9th year as the pastor of the church in Swainsboro, Georgia, for the IPHC. That night I walked in that church. And I saw him standing up there and those 200 teenagers there. I stood in the back looking. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, John, I've called you to be a facilitator of greatness. I knew at that moment there would be many times that things would be done that nobody would ever see. I knew that all those people and those kids and everybody that was benefiting in that church that night, they never knew about that conversation that happened in the woods. They never knew about that Sunday morning phone call. They didn't know that. I want you to understand that your life, like Mary and Elizabeth's, is priceless to God. That you have a purpose in this life and you never know that out of your simple acts of obedience and servitude in the kingdom, when God will facilitate something you never saw coming. All I saw was a man who needed Jesus. Never did I ever dream that one day he would be a 9-year tenured pastor in our conference, a leader in the IPHC, and a personal friend. I saw a soul. God looked down and saw Mary and he saw Elizabeth and he saw everyone that was lost and dying, and John had a job and Jesus had a job and Mary and Elizabeth had a job. That night as he ministered, he took the bike and he said, there's somebody else here tonight that needs to say something. And I felt the Holy Spirit quicken inside of me. The word quicken means to give life to. I felt it. And I said, Lord, I'm not interfering. I'm not here for that. This is his ministry. And then again, he said, there's somebody here tonight that needs to say something. Somebody the Lord's wanting to use. And I finally couldn't take it anymore. So I walked down out of the sound booth, walked down the center aisle to the front of the church, literally stepping over kids in the aisle that were just laid out prostrate before the Lord worshiping. I walked up, stuck my hand out in respect, asking for the mic, because even though I was the pastor, he was leading that service. I said, may I? He handed me the mic and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I laid my hands on Blake and I began to prophesy to him and I said, you will stand in front of countless of millions. Your songs will reach countless of millions. What I did not know was that day they signed their first contract with a record studio. What I did not know was that they were preparing to leave and move to Nashville and start their career in Christian ministry, and that one day I'd drive down the road and listen to them on the radio. I didn't know that. Why are you telling me? Please understand what I'm saying. This isn't a bragging thing. Please hear me. That one moment was a word of confirmation that I believe he will always remember. When times got tough, God said, I told you you would do this before it ever really happened. Be a facilitator. Let God work through you this Christmas and be the difference in someone's life. Young people, make a stand in your school. Get radical. Get radical. Get so crazy in love with Jesus that you care about one thing, serving God with your life. If Jesus comes back tomorrow, he's not going to care whether Georgia won a ball game. Levi, where are you at, buddy? Say amen. Thank you. You should have been at my house last night. Miss Selena was about to go into cardiac arrest. I thought I was going to have to go get the olive oil out and pour it over and anoint her and pray over her. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you bow your heads with me today as we close today? I bared my heart with you this morning. I went longer and deeper than sometimes I do. But I wanted so bad to communicate to you in a way from my heart that God's hand is on your life, and that from the time you were formed in your mother, just as it was with John the Baptist and even Jesus, the Son of God, that God had assigned a purpose to your life. Every job and career that's represented in this house, every age group of people, even our cultural differences and backgrounds make us each unique. My step-grandfather was from Taylor County before they went to Upson. Found out that one of his family members is kin to Miss Becky Peterman or Mr. Peterman. You say, why do you tell me that? We're all created individual and unique from our places. We have all kinds of connections. But ultimately, we all come back to one thing. We are children of God. No matter how educated or uneducated, how rich or how poor, we are all children of the Creator. And have we given our life over to Him? That's what counts today. You say, Pastor, I want to know the power in Christmas. I want to love this season. I want to celebrate it as a child of the King, the greatest gift you could ever be given or ever give. Is the surrender of your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want a fresh start. I want the power of Christmas in me. I want to go back to school, back to work, and I want to be the voice of change, the voice of joy and healing and peace. I want to be the one that was like Mary. I want to be like Elizabeth. I want the Spirit of God and the purpose of God working through my life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and you're ready to give your life to Him with no strings attached, it's the only way you can do it. You want to lay down everything and let Him be the Lord of your life. You want Him to be number one. You want to change the way you live right now, right here, today. Holy Spirit, change me. Blood of Jesus, wash me. I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. One, two, three. Put it up. Put it up right now. Who else today? Thank you, sweetheart. You don't have to keep it there. Who else today? Who else today? You're here today and you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I haven't been giving God 100%. I want to be that facilitator God's called me to be. I want to take the place in this life that He has ordained for me. Some of you need to mature in some areas, and you realize that this morning by the work of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have made excuses about your age or your ability, young or old, whatever it may be, and you're ready to put those excuses aside. Maybe it's with your education and your school system as a young person, and you said, Pastor, it's just too hard. I can't take that stand. But you realize today that if God could do it through Mary, God can do it through you. You realize we get to give birth to the life of Jesus Christ every time we live for Him, to His resurrection power. If that's you today and you're ready to take that stand, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Who else today? Thank you. Who else today? Thank you. Who else? You don't have to keep them up. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Would all of you that raised your hand step out of your seat and come join me? Would you do that if you raised your hand this morning? Just come stand at the altar with me. If you raised your hand, there's a lot of you. Come on. Be bold. You say you want to be bold? Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. Tim, do me a favor. Come down here with him. She was the first to raise her hand. She raised her hand to give her life to the Lord and to make Him first. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise for that. Amen. I never say her name right. Will you tell me again? Nevaeh. I've been calling her Nevada and everything else. Nevaeh, I'm going to lay my hand on you, sweetheart. Though the oppositions have been great, your victories shall be far greater, says the Lord. Say this with me, Lord Jesus. I give you my heart. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Save me, Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm a child of the King. Amen. Can I tell you something? She was saved before she ever got to this altar. Why? I think we misunderstand that a lot of times. Is the prayer important? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Yes. But when that child raised her hand, when that child left her seat, she had already made up her mind who she was serving. See, the Bible teaches us that God looks at the heart. It's the heart. It's not just the action. The actions, yes, faith without works is dead. I understand that. But when that baby raised her hand, it was like the Sunday morning that Ben walked that aisle. There was no reservations, no hesitation. It was pure and genuine. And you can see that in the heart of someone. Amen. Let's everyone just bow our heads for a moment. Father, Lord, they made up their mind before they ever got down here. On each one of them, we bless them today. Michelle, Tim, Tina, Tom, in Jesus' name, let your anointing be mighty on their lives. Father, thank you for your servants. Thank you for the call of God. Thank you for that 100%. Thank you for that anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage and calls us into greater depths. Thank you for the willingness to take a stand for the kingdom. Thank you for a willingness to be spirit-led and obedient. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for this young man and the hand of God on his life. Thank you for his humility and his willingness to stand here today, his genuineness of spirit. Father, he's walked through some very tough places in his life as well, but he stands here this morning willing. In Jesus' name, don't ever hold your head low. You hold your head high. God has a purpose for you. Be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Are you bilingual? Gift. I'm serious. In the world we live in today, we'll give you a chance, afford you an opportunity, the natural and the spiritual sense, to connect with people that I can't connect with. Like, I chose your mom. I chose your dad. Now, you may not realize that. It was hard for me coming up. I just feel led the Lord to tell you that. Sometimes we ask why. But remember this, God knew exactly who our parents would be and the purpose of our life. And He chose them for a reason, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mommy's not perfect. I'm sure she's got some bad. She just hides it pretty good. Right? Father, in the name of Jesus, hand of God be on this young man to become everything You have called him to be. And we will be forever grateful for it. 100% laid at Your feet today, serving You passionately, powerfully, and intentionally. As he raised his hand this morning, he said, I want to be the one that makes the difference. I want to be the one that stands strong to my faith. Let him stand in his school. Let him stand in the example of those that surround him and say, I'll be different because Jesus was different. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen. I met you last week. I love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Come on, give these guys a hand this morning, would you? Amen. Mountain Gap, we love you guys. Appreciate your support and your obedience. Tell you what, let's do something right quick. Tim, would you come back for me? I want all your children to come up front. All your babies, from youngest to eldest, all of them. Will y'all turn around and just face the church for me now? Next Sunday morning, you'll get to see them again, but I just feel led the Lord to do something. All of you know Hannah and Salem. Yes, you are. Is he here? Children's Church, that's right. I knew I saw him come through the door out there this morning with that grin on his little face. It took me a while to figure out that he was theirs. I always saw Hannah and Sailor, and it just took some time. But they have two new beautiful additions to their family. And I think most of you know it, but just in case you did not, we've got Nevada and Jada. Jada's on the far end down there. Nevada's on this end. I just wanted you to see them. Would y'all give them a big hand of welcome? Would you do that? Amen. I love these guys. Thank y'all. Y'all can go back in your seat. I just wanted them to see these two pretty little ladies. And Hannah, too. You're pretty, too. We'll give you a hand, right? My Kylie loves her to death. She said, I just love her. I'm not so sure about Sailor, but I know she loves Hannah. Kidding. One more thing. Darcy, where are you, dear? There you are. I want y'all to give. We have a new, and we're going to do this a little later on, but we have a new licensed minister in the Georgia Conference. Would y'all give Miss Darcy? Come on up here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Turn around so they can see you. Sweetie. Now, oh, freeze. She's so humble. Turn around. My wife's going to lay her hand on you. Anoint her, Selena. Where's the oil? Get the oil anointed. This is not my job to do, okay? This is supposed to be done, and it will be done at camp meeting this year by our bishop and our conference leadership. But I'm going to ask all of our leaders that are still here. I know we went a little long today. Would you get out of your seat, and let's just come join around her and pray for her. Can we do that? She's already been officially approved by the Council of the Georgia Conference here. They're very proud of her. I'm very proud of her. Bishop said to me, and I'll quote, he said, the entire council was very impressed by her. She is a very special lady. And I said, yes, she is very anointed. I think sometimes people misunderstand Darcy. And when I say misunderstand her, she's very humble. But she's very sweet and very anointed and very gifted. She's actually already started helping me some here with some counseling in the church. She's furthering her training in that field. And I'm very thankful for that. For people, it takes a very precious and tender God-given heart to do that level of ministry. Father, we lay our hands on her today. Lord, in just a simple act of obedience as her covering as a local church, and we bless her today in this new phase of her life. In this new era, Lord, as she's already been commissioned and will be further commissioned by the conference council at camp meeting. Lord, we commission her as her church family, that we will support her, stand beside her, fight for her, pray for her, believe with her. for the hand, the will, and the purpose of God for her life, for their lives as a family. Use her for your glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we all say a big amen. Amen. Y'all give her a hand today. It's a big step.
Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.